This evening, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to 1 Kings. We're studying through 1 Kings, and we're in chapter 14 this evening. 1 Kings chapter 14. We've been looking at the events that have been happening between the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, and how that God had foretold to Solomon, because of Solomon's decision to bring in all of his wives and introduce paganism to Israel, and not only introduce it to the people and show it to the people and establish places of worship for his wives' false gods and demonic gods, but he also began to worship them himself. And what Solomon did, a lot of times it gets overlooked because we oftentimes just focus on his wisdom, focus on the Proverbs, focus on Ecclesiastes, focus on the Song of Solomon. But we need to remember, he started out so strong, but he finished so bad. And oftentimes we forget, as wicked and evil as Saul was and the things that he didn't follow God and what God led him to do, he didn't introduce the people to worshiping false gods. The reason that it says that David was a man after God's own heart, even though David sinned, and my youngest daughter asked, one time I was talking to her mom, and she says, how come they say that David was a man after God's own heart when he committed those horrible sins? Because David's heart never swayed from worshiping the Lord. He never worshiped the false gods of the pagans around him. He never embraced them nor called upon them. But he always worshiped the true and the living God. And even though David was a sinner like we are, when he sinned, he called on God to forgive him and acknowledged that it wasn't against men that he had sinned, even though he hurt people greatly with his sin, but it was against the Lord. And this is what made David the standard bearer for all the kings of Israel. There was every king that followed David, you will see, is always compared to David. It says he was like David, or he didn't rule as David ruled. And because David had a heart after God. Solomon, his son, was given the gift of wisdom, and the wisdom in some ways even surpassed his father. But his understanding of how to walk with God paled in comparison. And Solomon opened up the door of idolatry for Israel. And because of that, the Lord said that he was going to give 10 of the tribes to Solomon's servant, and his son would only have 2. And this is what we've been studying, where Rehoboam had ruled over Judah and Benjamin, and Jeroboam, Solomon's servant, had the other 10. Just as God had made a promise to Solomon that if he walked after him in his ways, he would maintain the throne, but if he didn't, there would be judgment. The same was said to Jeroboam. And you would have thought that Jeroboam would have learned from seeing what happened to Solomon and then seeing God fulfill his promise in giving Jeroboam the leadership and the kingship over the northern 10 tribes. But it didn't take Jeroboam long at all before he was introducing false worship, false gods. And we saw and studied on last Wednesday night and also on Sunday afternoon, how that Jeroboam, did went far beyond anything that Solomon had done, because he abandoned all of the temple worship and created his own center of worship, his own city of worship, his own type of worship, his own worship festivals, everything he did, and he modeled it after what God had established, but he did it, in a, as the scripture says, according to his ways and according to his thoughts. Total rebellion against God. Well, God said and told him, if you are true to me, I'll give you and your sons after you the kingship of the 10 tribes of Israel. But if you fail to follow me, like David, it'll be taken from you. And this evening we're going to see that it is being taken from him. And it's interesting because his son is very sick and dying. And as we look at the text this evening, you're going to see that this son, of all the sons of Jeroboam, is the only one that was ever buried. And we're going to see why in just a moment. Let's begin by looking at 1 Kings 14, beginning at verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, disguise thyself, that thou may be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah, the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." I just want to pause here. Why would Jeroboam have his wife disguise herself so that Ahijah would not know that she was his wife? It's interesting. Now, first of all, Jeroboam has a really poor understanding of God and his prophets. The Lord revealed to the prophets things that were happening because God sees not only the circumstances that are being played out before men, but he knows the thoughts and the intents of men's hearts. He knows what we're thinking of doing before we even do it. And yet, Jeroboam thinks that somehow he can pull one over on the Lord, that his prophet really won't know that it's his wife, and that she should go and inquire about their son and on how their son can be healed. Now, this is the same prophet that God had used to come and tell Jeroboam, the Lord is going to raise you up to be king over the northern 10 tribes, and these are the conditions. And he's the same prophet that told him why the Lord was raising him up. And he's the same prophet whose prophecies came true, so they know he was a prophet of God. But yet Jeroboam sends her to him and has her feebly try to disguise herself so that somehow he won't know it's her. "And take thee 10 loaves and cracknels and a cruse of honey and go to him, so shall he tell thee what shall become of the child." And so she's supposed to take this offering to him, a gift to him. And Jeroboam's wife did so, and arose and went to Shiloh, and came to the house of Ahijah. And Ahijah could not see, for his eyes were set by reason of his age. I just want to pause here. He was blind because of his age. So the disguise was really a moot point because he couldn't see her anyway. But the amazing thing is God does see. And God does know. And we cannot disguise ourselves from the Lord. And this is one of the things that we need to learn, is that God understands and sees what we're doing, even though men may not be able to see. And men may not be able in their own physical abilities or intellectual abilities to to discern and understand what is happening, but God does. And the first thing I want you to see is, even though the prophet physically couldn't see, God did see, and He places in the prophet's heart and mind what's happening. And the Lord said to Ahijah, "Behold, the wife of Jeroboam cometh to ask a thing of thee for her son, for he is sick. Thus and thus shalt thou say unto her, for it shall be when she cometh in, that she will feign herself to be another woman." Now, you see right here that the Lord is the one that knows what's going on. And it's interesting here as well, the Lord knows all of the circumstances that are surrounding the whole reason for her visit. He understands what her husband has done in sending her, and He understands what she's going to try and do. And it was so, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said to her, "Come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. Why faintest thou thyself to be another? For I am sent to thee with heavy things." He's saying her, I mean, this must have shocked her. Because here she comes in and he can't see. But he already knows it's her, even though she's thought she'd done very well in disguising herself to prevent him from understanding, but he can't even see, but he knows it's her. And then he tells her, "I've got heavy things to tell you." And her heart must have sunk when she heard those words. Because he was speaking for the Lord, which was evident by the fact he knew who she was and why she was there. "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel, and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and who followed me with all his heart, to do all that only which was right in mine eyes. But thou hast done evil above all that there were before thee, for thou hast gone and made thee other gods, molten images, to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back." Even Solomon, when he brought the wives' gods and set up the high places on the mount for them, still acknowledged that God existed. It's just he didn't worship just the Lord. He's saying, "Jeroboam, you're worse than anyone that's come before you. You're worse than some of the prophets that did that which was righteous in my eyes when my spirit came upon them, but yet did things that weren't right when my spirit wasn't upon them. You're worse than any of the people that have been in my kingdom and leadership. And because of that, I'm going to fulfill my word and my promise that I gave you. I told you I would make you the king, but I also said, as I took it from the throne of David, from the house of David, to give it to you, I can take it back." And he said that he has done evil. Now, what was the evil he did? Remember, I said that what he did was so wicked and so evil because not only did he... Solomon was attempting to appease his wives. Jeroboam set out to deceive the people. It was wrong of Solomon to attempt to appease his wives by worshiping their false gods and setting up the thing. But Jeroboam did that which was even more evil in the sight of the Lord, because he went to deceive all the people that are of the Lord and to say, this is the true worship. We're going to have the calf at Dan. We're going to have the calf, golden calf at Bethel. We're going to have the altar at Bethel. We're going to come together for the feasts that are going to be not on the same days even, and not in the same worship even. And then worse than that, he took and established his own priesthood, not according to what God said should be priests, but it says he took the lowest of the Israelites to be priests. He did everything in his power to mock God and to come against all that God stood for, while he's saying he's worshiping God. So this is why it's so despicable and abhorrent to the Lord. Well, because he had done that, and because he had done all this evil, the Lord says in verse 10, therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and I will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall. In other words, all male descendants shall be cut off. And not only that, and him that is shut up and let in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. And then God gives the example of cleaning your barn. And that's what he's going to do with the house of Jeroboam. I grew up on the farm, and you had to clean the barn. And you kept it clean. And the way you kept it clean is you got rid of the manure and you took it all out and you got the barn all cleaned out, and then you brought in fresh straw for the animals. I remember there were these two old German farmers and they didn't clean their barn very often. And as a matter of fact, it got so bad that their animals couldn't even hardly get into the barn anymore, and because it was so close to the roof with all of the dung and manure that was in the barn. He never cleaned it. God said, I'm going to clean the house of Jeroboam. This wickedness and evil, I'm going to clean. Now, I want you to understand that what Jeroboam did had lasting impact on the northern 10 tribes of Israel. It wasn't just his family that started to worship the false gods, but he influenced the people. And the kings that came after him, you realize there was not one good king in the northern kingdom of Israel the whole time it existed before they were taken away into captivity. Not one. Judah had good kings, not Israel, because Jeroboam had set the bar so low and had made a mockery of God so deep and placed in the minds of the people that which was so wicked that they were ready and open to follow all those who would come after who said, we can lead you. And I mean, you had Ahab and Jezebel, who established this horrible, horrible standards for Israel. And you can look at every one of the kings. And the amazing thing about the northern kingdom, you don't see kings succeeding one another, but rather you see kings overthrowing one another. And you never have that in the kingdom of Judah. The kings don't overthrow one another in Judah. They succeed one another in Judah. Now, he goes on and he says, him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it. In other words, everyone that's born of Jeroboam's line, when they die in the city, they're not going to be buried. When they die in the country, they're not going to be buried. And what he is saying is a real judgment and a sign of judgment against the house of Jeroboam. If you go to Israel today, one of the things that they do is they really acknowledge the significance of honoring the dead by burying their body. And it's very important that, for example, the hostages that were killed, it's very important for the families to get the body back so that they can bury it. Because really they're honoring the body not because the person's still living, but they're honoring the body because it was the body that God had given and created for that person, and they were created in the image of God, and it's showing honor to that which God had given in life, and all the death had come upon them, and so you honor them and you bury them. It was the same thing here. You remember it said that the kings would, Solomon went and was buried with his father David in the city of David. And you'll see that those that had followed the Lord were buried. And even Saul and his sons where Saul had rebelled against God. And then when the Philistines came and killed Saul and his sons in the battle, and they took him back to the city, and they mocked their bodies by hanging them on the wall. And remember the men from across on the east side of the Jordan River came and got Saul and his sons and took their bodies and took them back. And then they, because of the great things that they had, the wickedness that they had done to the bodies, they burned the bodies, but then they buried the bones. And even that they buried. That's not going to happen with Jeroboam's kids. They're going to be eaten by dogs and by the fowl of the air. And I mentioned the only one that's going to be buried is the young one that the mom came to inquire about. Let's go on. Arise, thou therefore, get thee to thine house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die. So he's telling Jeroboam's wife, okay, I've given you the message. Now you're to leave. You're to go back to your house. And when you enter the city, the child will die. And that's what he meant. The news I'm going to give you is heavy. And all Israel shall mourn for him and bury him, for he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave. Because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. Evidently this child was different from Jeroboam, his father, and was different from his brothers, because God said there is found some good thing in him. Moreover, the Lord shall raise him up a king over Israel, who shall cut off the house of Jeroboam that day. But what? Even now. In other words, Jeroboam, your reign isn't going to last much longer. And your day of reckoning is coming, and your kingdom under your control and your house's control is coming to an end. And I'm going to raise up another to take control and be the king over the northern tribe of Israel. For the Lord shall smite Israel as a reed is shaken in the water, and he shall root up Israel out of the good land, which he gave to their fathers, and shall scatter them beyond the river, because they have made their groves, provoking the Lord to anger. And here the prophet foretells of what is going to happen to the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. They are going to be taken out of the land, and they're going to be scattered and taken across the river. The river would be the river Euphrates to the north, and they're going to end up going and being taken away by the Assyrians. And this will be the first dispersion that will occur of the northern, where the northern tribes are conquered by the Assyrians and taken away. And He doesn't specifically name the Assyrians here, but he tells them where they're going to go. They're going to go to the north, where Assyria is, and they'll be taken away captive of them. And they'll be taken out of this land that had been promised them, the good land. And the Lord said that there was a tie between the land and Israel, and there always is. But he said Israel would only remain in the land as they stayed true to him. And when they were in the land would prosper. But when they left and were taken out, the land would become desolate. And we see that the first notice of them being taken out of the land is now. Even though there had been sin in the land before, during they hadn't followed God's commands when Joshua brought them into the land, they didn't drive out all the Canaanites like the Lord told them to. And they allowed them to stay, which became the Canaanites became a thorn in their side and caused them to turn astray. There have been other times where they failed, but they had never done what they are doing now in the Northern Kingdom, establishing a total system of false worship that mocks God because it looks like exactly what God's doing, except it's not the same. And this is really a mark of Satan because he imitates everything that God does, but he can't do it the same. And it's not the same because it's not the truth. It's a lie. It's an error. And that's what Jeroboam had done. And he's established all of this and the people followed him. And so for this, he's going to shake Israel as a reed is shaken. And he's going to take them out of the good land. Verse 16. And he shall give Israel up because of the sins of Jeroboam, who did sin and who made Israel to sin. And Jeroboam's wife arose and departed and came to Tisra. And when she came to the threshold of the door, the child died. And they buried him, and all Israel mourned for him, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by the hand of his servant Ahijah the prophet. And then you can read in the book of Chronicles more about Jeroboam, but it's not a life that we want to follow or imitate. Because Jeroboam did what many false teachers are attempting to do in the church today. They bring in things that appear to be of God, but they're really not of God. And they lead the people away from God and into the things of Satan instead of following the Lord. And that's exactly what Jeroboam did. You can name a number of men that have done this. There have been false revivals where people have said that it's of the Lord and it's not of God. And one of the things that can really tell you whether it's of the Lord or not, number one, is there a call for repentance and to turn to God? Because if there's not, if it's all about me and my feelings and my emotion, then this isn't real revival and it's not really following God. But if I can get some experience out of it, that's really what Satan would give me. And much what you're seeing happen in the name of revivals that have come in the church, for example, the Toronto revival, where people literally would act like animals and say that that was God, bark like dogs, howl like monkeys. And nowhere in Scripture do you see that. But it says that God calls us to walk in holiness and righteousness. He calls us to become like Jesus in our attitudes and actions. And you see Jesus, when he's confronting people that weren't following him or his Father, he calls them to repent and to turn back to me. Jeroboam established his own religion, which resulted in death. May we learn from the sad account of Jeroboam. Learn from a man who wouldn't even go and confront the prophet himself. What a difference between David and him. When Nathan came to confront David, and was confronted by him, David repented. Jeroboam hid, and he hid behind his wife. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just speak to us through your word tonight. Help us to understand the horror of establishing a false religion. A false religion in your name, but doing everything that's an abomination to you when we establish it. Help us to walk to you in obedience, in truth, and walk as you would seek to lead us by the power of your Spirit through the blood of your Son, that we may walk to bring glory and honor to your name, and that we bring an example to a world of who you really are. Help us not to be like Jeroboam. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 699.